Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samach Ted Amud Aleph, six lines down. Boy Rav Chananya, Hotziu Baret Yado Bazara Mahu. What happens if the fetus extended its arm outside the mother in the Azara? What do we say there? Migo Dabi Mechitza the Gobe Kodashim Havinami the Gabe Dahai. Since the Azara is a factor with regards to Kodashim as being a boundary in which they are Kshirim to Shech them, therefore it also have implications. Or if the ubar inside of the mother should also be affected by that. Odilma, the gabe hai, lav mechitzahi. Maybe over here it has nothing to do with the mechitza dazara, the mechitza dubar, imohi. Because the mechitza for the ubar is the mother itself. Now obviously this supposes that the din of shechting the kurban outside of the azara, and the fact that the animal extends its arm outside of the mother, really derive from the same problem. Which is Ubasar Basadeh Trefa Lo Tochelu. Since they derive from the same restriction or the same Isur, the possibility is that there's some overlap in their restriction. And so, even though in general, we would say with regards to a mother and a child, the child sticking his hand outside of the mother, that's the boundaries, and once it escapes that boundary, there's a problem. Nevertheless, over here, maybe in the context of the Azara, you could see that boundary being extended since the Azara itself has impact with regards to the same pasuk, and it has an impact on the mother. Or do we say that each one stands independently? Yes, they both derive from the same pasuk, but each one has its own framework, has its own chutz and pnim, and therefore it's not influenced by the issue of the azara. So Amalei Abaye, Tibaye Lach Kodshim Kalim Yerushalayim. Why don't you ask about Kodshim Kalim in Yerushalayim? They're also subject to the din of that same pasuk, which is, you can't take Kodashim outside of Yerushalayim or Chumot Yerushalayim, because again, Basar Basadeh, Trefalo Tuchelu, means that the boundaries of Yerushalayim are considered to be the place where you can eat the Kodashim, or at least Kodashim Kalim. Once you exit that area, they become problematic, and you'll be in violation of that same Pasuk. Why are you directing your question about the Azara? Your question could be even about Yerushalayim, or a more expansive area, only because Yerushalayim is also subject to the same ruling. Now, as Rashi points out over here, the situation has to be a case where not that you're shechting the mother in Yerushalayim, because the mother is Kodashim. If you shech the mother in Yerushalayim, it'll be Pasul. And it's clear there that Shechita Psula for the mother is not going to help the Ubar that's inside. What Rashi says is the case is where the Ubar stuck its hand out inside Yerushalayim, then took it back in, and then you took the mother to the Azara and shechted the mother in the Azara. So again, the question is Yerushalayim as a boundary also then impactful on the Ubar that is inside? Again, because they derive from the same Isura, Basar Basadeh Trefa Lo Tochelu, maybe it should be influential in this case. So he says, Koshim Kalim Yerushalayim, my time aloke me bayilach. Why didn't you ask the question about the borders of Yerushalayim? The Mechitzat Ubar Imohu, because the Mechitza for the Ubar is the mother, and therefore you thought there was no correlation between the walls of Yerushalayim and the Ubar, Hachanami Mechitzat Ubar Imohu, that you should say the same thing over here, which is that the Azara has no impact on what is considered to be the boundary of the border for the Ubar. In both cases, we're going to say that the Mechitzat Ubar is Imohu, and therefore there's no impact, not by the case of Yerushalayim or Chumat Yerushalayim, which you didn't even query about, but then also that will be true by the Azara as well. Now, that could be for one of two reasons. Either it's Kal Vachomer, which is, Abaye's question is, if you asked about the Azara, why not ask about Yerushalayim? Once you know about Yerushalayim, then certainly you would know about the Azara. The fact that you didn't ask about Yerushalayim shows that you don't think that these are interchangeable borders. If that's true by Yerushalayim, it's also true by the Azara. That's one way to read it. Or the other way to read it is in a more fundamental manner, which is the fact that the animals found inside of a misgeret where the mother is considered to be inside, is that enough then to impact on the ubar? If it's classified as being inside for the mother, maybe that should also be impactful for the child. So why are you asking about Azara? You can ask about any misgeret, any framework where the mother is considered to be inside rather than outside. Does that have impact or influence over the ubar? Or is it meaningless to the Ubar? The fact that you asked the question about the Azara, not Yerushalayim, shows that you think the Azara somehow is different. The question should be equally applicable to Yerushalayim. And by Yerushalayim, it's clear to you that it doesn't work. That's because you think that the Miskeret is the mother. Then by the Azara, there'd be no different. Now, the Balei Tosafot say that the question of Rav Chananya was directed because he thought the Azara is more significant. It says, Rav Chananya, v'mibayilei ba'azara, mishum dechashiva mechitza yoter. It has a higher standard of mechitza, tafilu yan shkitat kodshim kalim. Because even for kodshim kalim, which are allowed to be eaten all through Yerushalayim, inside of Komot Yerushalayim, they still need to be shechted in the Azara. So the Azara is a much higher standard as a mechitza or as a perimeter. So he felt that maybe there would be more influential on the child that is inside the mother. And that's why they asked the question from the tzad of the Azara versus the tzad of Yerushalayim, where it's not as a strong a border, maybe less influential. That's the reasoning behind Rav Chananya's position. Abaye rejects it by saying that you're conflating boundaries or borders. Yes, they all derive from the same pasuk, but it doesn't mean that one is going to influence the other. Each one of them has their own framework. Just because another framework also has the same isur, they're not overlapping. And because the shechita of the mother is inside the Azara, doesn't mean that the ubar, therefore, has extra space to move around before it's considered to be outside of the mother. The Gemara says, Vayilfa, Otsi ubari et yodo ben siman le siman mahu. We had this earlier in the Masechta back on Daf Lamed Bet, about whether you can combine the simanim in these situations. You have here the ubar extending its arm out between the simanim. So you shechted one siman of the mother, then the ubar sticks its leg out, its arm out, and then pulls it back, retracts it, and then you shecht the other siman. Mi mitztaref siman rishon the siman sheni letarei midei nevela or lo? Are the two simanim then successful at removing the shame nevela from it? It's clear here that the arm is not going to be kasher. That's not a question because you didn't have shechita when the arm was still inside. It went out in between the simanim. The question is the status of the arm. In that when we said before that an Eiver Min HaChai is a sur, and it goes out, it has a din of nevela. The question is this shechita, the second siman, good enough to remove that shame nevela from it? We had yesterday the machloka between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir with regards to the status of that arm. Rabbi Meir believed that that's classified like Eiver Min HaChai, and Eiver has a status in nevela, it's metame nevela. The Chachamim said that it is matuwimut of touching something that it was shechted, but was a treifa. So there is no tuma. So the question here is, did we get that status with regards to this arm? Meaning that is it a nevela, or is it a treifa? Because the simanim now are functioning in two ways. Which is that the first siman, since the animal was inside, is successful at both, making it mutar ba'achila, and being mitaheret from nevela. Once the arm went out, the second siman is not going to be successful at making it mutar ba'achila, but it is successful at removing the shame nevela from it. So now your first siman is good for achila, good for tuma. Your second siman is only good for tuma. Question is, can you combine two simanim like that that are uneven to get you at least the minimum amount, which is that it should be tahor midei nevela? So amarova kal v'chomer im hoyolo siman rishon the siman sheni latiro v'achila. The fact that the first siman is successful being matarit for achila, and to be mitzvah from siman sheni, at least for the remainder of the ubar, then lo yolo the tarei midei nevela. It certainly should provide the assist in order to make it tahor from midei nevela. Or what Rava is saying, and this is what we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, is that there is a minimum common denominator between them. Even though the two simanim over here can't combine in order to make it mutar ba'achila, the two simanim have, first of all, dual function. One is to make it mutar b'achila, the other is to remove the tum'ah from it. And each one of them has both of these. The first siman has it with regards to the entirety of the behema. It's both making mutar b'achila and being mitar midei nevela. The second siman has the heter achila with regards to the remainder of the ubar. And it has the heter tum'ah with regards to the whole ubar, including this arm over here. And so the combination is allowed or will function because you have heter mituma with the second siman, heter tuma with the first siman, common denominator being meteir midei nevela exists in both of them. That's sufficient at least to remove the problem of tuma for this eiver that was extended. Bayi Rabbi Yirmiyah, ma'u lachush lezaro. Do we have to worry about the offspring of this animal? This animal that extended its arm out and then is born. It's walking around now. We have an animal that is mutar ba'achila because it's nitar yedei shechita of the mother, with the exception of one Eiver. Whatever Eiver was that extended out before it was born, that Eiver is not kosher the achila. So you have a behema that is 90% kosher, and you can eat it no problem. And then there's a part of this behema that will never be mutar. Because it doesn't matter if you shech the animal, the animal's not a bar shechita. It already was nitar, yaday the shechita of the mother. It doesn't need a shechita. Shechita won't have any impact. So this remaining leg that it was extended is really left in limbo, and it's stuck as an isur that you can't do anything with it. So he wants to know the offspring of this animal, what is the din? So the Gemara says, hey chidami, how exactly are you formulating this question? Ilema tazal abehema ma'aliyoto. If you say that it got together with another animal that was totally fine, totally mutar, my area, hi, did be isur, yotze, afilu ben pikua da'almanami. Why are you framing your question only about this situation where you have a behema with one leg that is problematic? Why don't you frame your question about it ben bikua ba'alma, meaning that you can have an animal that is totally mutar. And your question should be, when that animal that's totally mutar and doesn't require shechita gets together with a regular animal that does require shechita, their offspring, what is the status of their offspring? If this is the nature of your question, which is you have an animal with one leg that's a sur, the remainder of it is mutar without shechita, and then you have a totally normal animal, and the two of them are mating, and they produce offspring, if that's your question could have been just as relevant by saying it about a regular ben pekua. If an animal doesn't require shechita at all, it was inside its mother when the mother was shechted, it's nitar yaday, the shechita of the mother, and so it's totally mutar. And then you have another animal that's like a regular animal that's a sur, they mate, and then they produce offspring, what's the status of the offspring? The question is equally relevant when it's a ben pkua as it is in the case where it's a ben pkua minus the leg. So if that's your question, you should have just asked it as a ben pkua question. Damar Mishashya. The Divre Omer, Choshishin Lezerahav, ben pkua Baal Behema Malyoto, Havlad Ein Lo Takana. According to the one who believes that we worry about the father's contribution to the situation, who is Kananya, we're going to see Gemara later on, then you have a problem over here. The father's contribution means that we have animals that are born clearly to the mother because we know who the mother is. Who the father is sometimes is harder to figure out with animals and may be less relevant. So the question is, in halacha, do we view the father's contribution as being meaningful towards the behemoth's existence or the status of the behemoth? So if you have a mother that is muteret, a father who is asur, does that have any bearing on the offspring that we have here? Or, in this situation, where you have one of the animals is a ben pakua, one of the animals is not a ben pakua, and since both of them are contributing over here, does that have impact on the offspring? And the answer the Gemara gives is that Rama Sharshi says, anybody who believes that both the animals contributing has an impact, then over here, you're stuck with an animal that you can't do anything with. Because you have an animal that's been coming from one animal that doesn't require shechita, one animal that does require shechita, so then what's the status of this animal? Half requires shechita, half doesn't require shechita. The animal is missing a part of it. Shechita is only effective if the animal requires shechita. If the animal doesn't require shechita, the shechita is not going to be effective. So for instance, in the case of ben pakua that has one leg that went out beforehand, that leg would require shechita, but you're doing shechita and the ben pakua has no halachic meaning because it doesn't require shechita. It's not a matir because it doesn't have any halachic force. So similarly over here, because the father is a ben pakua, he doesn't require shechita. And from the mother's side, he requires shechita. As Rashi brings over here, the simanav einam simanim. His simanim are not really simanim. Da'apalgei kishchutim damu. Half his simanim are as if they were shechted already, halakhically. Oh, the other formulation Rashi has is, habalei bar simanachad. It's like as if he has only one siman and not two simanim. So even though you could do a physical shechita on this animal, halakhically, the impact of this shechita is meaningless because you can't shech two simanim in this animal. Because there are co-contributors to the animal, and one of the contributors was an animal that didn't require shechita. And so maybe this animal has no solution to its problem. That machloket will revolve around whether the father has impact over here. If the father has impact, then the father has a ben pakua creates the problem. If the father doesn't have impact, then the father has a ben pakua has no impact. Or vice versa. If the mother has a ben pakua, if the father has no impact, then the mother by herself would have made it mutar because the child that's born to the mother from a ben pakua won't require shechita. Or if the father is meaningful, then it requires shechita, but the mother's contribution makes it problematic because you can't do shechita. Tosafot says, I don't really understand the whole question here. We've learned before that zeb zeh goreim is mutar. So why don't you just invoke the principle of zeb zeh goreim over here, and it would be mutar. So the Ran answers Really, it's based on the Baalei Tosafot that we saw earlier in the sugya of Zeh V'Zeh Goreim, that over there the Baalei Tosafot would say, Zeh V'Zeh Goreim is only relevant when you have one thing that's asur and one thing that is mutar. If both items are mutarim, then you don't have a din of Zeh V'Zeh Goreim. Zeh V'Zeh Goreim supposes that something's asur, something's mutar, and you're combining them, and then you result in something that is mutar. In a situation where the first item is mutar, the second item is mutar, they're just mutar in different ways, and then you combine them, the Zeh V'Zeh Goreim is not a relevant terminology. And over here, both animals, the father and the mother, are fine animals. One requires shechita, one doesn't require shechita, but they're both mutarim. It's not an animal that's a sur, and therefore when they combine them, the Zeh V'Zeh Goreim may not be successful over here at removing the problem. You can't just say Zeh V'Zeh Goreim mutar, because both gormim were mutarim in the first place. In that case, Zeh V'Zeh Goreim mutar. The application is not relevant over here. Gemara says, lo tzricha, the question is this. Dazala ben Pagua dichvate. That he mated, as Tosafot says over here, with an animal that has the exact same problem. Which is that the male and the female both were born inside of mothers that were shefted, but they had extended their hand out before the mother was shefted. So they both have a entirety of a body that is mutar, and then they have a leg that is asur, and they both have that same feature. My, how do we look at this? Ever moli dever. So maybe the situation is that we look at the offspring as being a direct derivative of the parents. And that is that the parents contribute to the child the features of the child. And those features are the combination of the features of the parents. Well, since the parents have everything that's mutar without shkita, with the exception of the leg, the child will look exactly like the parents, which is that the entire thing will be okay without shkita, with the exception of that leg that is asur. Then you can just cut that leg off, and everything will be fine. Odilma mebalbel zare. Or do you look at the parent contribution to the child as not being a direct correlation, which means every limb that the parent has is reflected in the limb of the offspring, but rather the combination. There's some combination of the father and the mother together that produce the offspring. And the offspring's features are a combination of all the things that are contributed by the mother and the father. If in that case it's true, then you don't have any ability to take care of the offspring, because the offspring now in every limb has a mixture of 95% ben pakua and 5% that leg that is asur. Again, the way to formulate this is, do we look at the offspring as like the parent, where 95% of it is mutar and that one leg, the same leg that's in the mother and the father that's asur, is also asur now in the child? Or do we say that every limb or every part of this animal is really a succession to the parents, which are 95% mutar, 5% asur? That means that every leg or every siman, everything in the animal is 95% mutar and 5% isur. And then there's no way to get the isur out of here, and you can't eat the offspring. So that's the nature of the question. Hadar Amar. So after that he says, Kshita de Mibalbel Zare. Says there's no question that the way it works here is that the parent's contribution is distributed throughout the offspring and not the exact aver is combined with the other aver. Dim came, because if it was the case that the exact aver was reproduced in the offspring, suma yulad suma, then by definition, anything that was blind would have to have offspring that were blind. Kitea yulad kitea, if it was a animal missing a leg or missing a limb, then by definition, it should have an offspring that is missing that same limb. The fact that we don't have animals or offspring reflecting the exact features that the parent has, especially when there's a problem with one of those features, then elopshita de mebalbel zare. The contribution of the parent is not reflected in the child exactly, meaning not aver is reflected. Rather, it's a combination of all the avarim of the parent. They contribute to the child. In that case, it would be problematic if you have two parents, both of which are ben pekua, with one item that's asur, that isur then be distributed amongst the whole offspring, and there'd be no way to extract the isur from the offspring, and it would be problematic. So this is the nature of the question. Behema ba'alma, lav mikoach chelev v'dam ka'atyo. Animals in general, aren't they a derivative of the fat and blood of their parents? Visharya. And despite that fact, they are mutarim. The parents contribute to the child all of the features of the parent. That means that the parent has parts of it that are mutar, parts of it that are asur. Chelev and dam in the parents is asur. Yet the offspring is not considered all to be mixed up with isur just because the chelav of the dam of the parent that was contributed towards the child, so achanami lo shna, so too over here. If you have an offspring that is coming from a ben pakua that has one leg that is asur, and again, the ben pakua is a child in utero when the shechita took place, and therefore it's mutar, it does not require a shechita. That ben pakua that had extended its leg before the shechita of the mother, so that the leg is asur, why don't we use the same principle that we use by chelav and dam? Just like the chelav and dam contributed by the parents doesn't make the child asur, so to over here, the leg of the parent that is asur shouldn't impact on the child. Odilma trei isurei amrinan, flata lo amrinan. Or maybe we say that two isurim can be overcome, that's chelav and dam, but the isur of yotze cannot be overcome. Now Tosfot again here asks the question of zeb zeh goreim, why isn't it automatically mutar? So the Ramban just suggests that this part of the Gemara is only according to the one who says zeb zeh goreim is asur. And the Ran in the previous sugya says the same thing over here, which is that it's only according to the one who says zeb zeh goreim is asur. Number two is that the fact that you have two isurim versus three isurim is not really the question over here. The question is the ability for the parent's contribution not to be problematic for the animal, is that only with regards to items that are inherent to the animal, like chelev and dam, which are parts of the body of the animal, versus the problem of yotze, which is an external, exogenous isur that's come upon the animal because it stuck its arm out while it was in utero. So that's not an inherent isur. It's not part of the chelev and dam. It's an isur that was imposed from the outside. So the Gemara says, who is this question according to? E le Rabbi Meir. If you're saying this according to Rabbi Meir, Isur Chelev Adam Ika, Isur Yotze Leka. According to him, there is an Isur of Chelev Adam with regards to the Ubar, but there is no Isur of Yotze. Either Rabbi Yehuda, if you think the question is according to Rabbi Yehuda, Isur Yotze Ika, Isur Chelev Adam Leka. Then Yotze exists, but Chelev Adam do not exist. What the argument is here is about what is the success of shechting a mother with an Ubar inside. How successful are you at being matir that which is inside? Do we look at whatever is in utero as just being another part of the mother? And therefore, if you shech the mother, everything in the mother is mutar, so too everything in utero is mutar. Which would then be that the animal inside is not only mutar in terms of its flesh, but its chelev and its gidon hasheh would also be mutar, because it's anything inside the mother is nitar yidei shechita of the mother. And just like the animal itself no longer requires shechita as mutar, so too the chelev and gidon hasheh of the fetus mutar. Kol asher babehema, anything that's in the mother is mutar, and in the mother means everything, literally. Tanya, we have a bright further on. Gidon hasheh, whether you have that in here or not. Noeg bishalio bichelbo asur divi Rabbi Meir. The mother was shechta while it was still in utero. It has a din of gidon hasheh and it has a din of chelev. If you shecht a mother and you find inside of it a full mature fetus, meaning at 9 months, it's carried to full term, it requires a shechita. Since it requires shechita, it's like any other animal, and therefore its chelev is asur, its dam is asur, its gidon hasheh is asur, but obviously there's no issue of yotze, because the animal requires shechita. So yotze is not a relevant term. That's Rabbi Meir's view. Rabbi Yehuda Meir, enoeg b'shalio v'chelbo mutar. Gidon hasheh is not relevant by this fetus, and neither is chelev. Rabbi Yehuda, who says that that animal does not require shechita, then there's a problem of yotze, but there's no problem of chelev and gidon hasheh, because the chelev and gidon hasheh are considered to be totally mutarim. As Rashi notes here, Rabbi Meir only dissents in a case where the behema went to full term, and it is alive. In that case, then it's independent, and you have to shecht it separately, and then it's not incorporated under kol behema. But if it was something that didn't reach full maturity or it wasn't alive when it came out, then it's considered to be an entity that is part and parcel of the mother, and it would be nitar yidei the mother the same way that Rabbi Yehuda believes that it's nitar yidei the mother. So then, what's your question over here? You're asking the question, something that comes from chelev and dam, what's the din? And that should be compared to yotze. Whoever thinks chelev and dam is an issue doesn't think yotze is an issue. Anybody who thinks that yotze is an issue doesn't think chelev and dam is an issue, so they never overlap. If they don't overlap, then the question is a moot question. And so that's what the Gemara says over here, Ella kol mikoach lo amrinan. Anything that comes or derives from another factor, that's not an issue over here. Dishari, because it's mutar. There's no question that it's mutar. So now we've solved technically our problem, which is if anything that derives from a parent that has caleb and dam, we don't say that that caleb and dam somehow is isur, that they don't get mixed up in the child, and therefore the child now has isur and heter altogether, and you can never eat the child. We don't look at the caleb and dam of the parent as being influential on the child itself. So similarly, by the case of the ben pakua, just because the ben pakua has a leg that is isur, and the remainder of it is mutar, that part of isur should have no impact on the child or the offspring. This is the question. Mau ligmoa et chalavo. Can you drink its milk? The milk is the milk of this ben pakua that has a leg that is isur. So you have a ben pakua with a leg that is isur. Can you drink the milk? But the question was phrased in the following manner, which was the way we started this whole sugya. Every year, may I ask, what is the status of zaro? Shel ben pakua. What is the question about zaro? You're not speaking about the zaro, you're speaking about the animal itself. The way that the Gemara is learning it now is that zaro is what causes the animal to have milk. A mother has milk because it has an offspring. So the question now is, after the mother has an offspring, this ben pakua that has a leg that's asur, after she has an offspring, which is totally mutar, the offspring we don't worry about, nevertheless, what is the status of the milk itself of this mother? Because chalav, dama, in general, lo kever min achai dami. Even though milk in general, when you milk a cow, it should have had a status of eber min achai. It's something that comes internally from the animal, separates away from the animal when it's alive. It should have been eber min achai, vishari. And despite that fact, you have gzeir takatuv that it is mutar. Hainami loshna. So too over here, just like eber min achai is waived by all other animals, normal animals, so too over here, the eber min achai will be waived. And you can drink the milk of this ben pakua with one leg that is asur. Over there, by a normal animal, once you check the animal, the entirety of the animal will become a mutar. And since it will become mutar, the milk itself is also mutar preemptively. Because since the animal can be made mutar, the milk itself, based on the Gzeirat HaKetuv, is mutar. Over here, that limb will never become mutar. There'll be no period in time, never will it ever be, that that leg becomes mutar. Maybe that's influential on the milk that comes from this animal. So we view the milk now that's a derivative from this animal as being mutar because of your ability to successfully take away Abram and Achai from this animal eventually. And therefore, the milk is mutar now because of the eventual success to take away Abram and Achai. And given that, then by the Ben Pakua, you can't say that. Because by the Ben Pakua, there will never be a time where you can free it totally from Eber Min Achai. That one limb will never be released from Eber Min Achai. It will always be a sore, and maybe that's influential on the milk. Or do we say that the Gzeirat HaKetuv is milk's okay. And milk's okay whether it comes from this animal or another animal. It doesn't really matter. Obviously, you'd have to differentiate between a trefa and this type of animal. The milk of a trefa cannot be utilized. So there is obviously something to do with the fact that you can make this animal a beheter at some point. That's what allows the milk to be utilized. How much is that, or how influential that is the question over here. By a trefa, none of the animal is ever going to be kasher, and therefore the milk is asur. By the ben pakua, 95% of the animal is mutar. It's that 5% that's problematic. How influential is that 5% then in obstructing your ability to use the milk? Teku, and we leave that as an unresolved issue. Choteich me'ubar. You can cut up the ubar internally, and then if it's left inside the mother, when you check the mother, the ubar becomes mutar, you day the mother. Benalan, how do we know this? Dichtiv is the pasuk that we started with yesterday when we were speaking about the introduction to the perek. It says, Chol be'ema mafreset parsa, v'shosa shesa ba'be'ema. It says in the beginning of the pasuk, Chol be'ema. Later on, the pasuk says, ba'be'ema, be'ema, ba'be'ema, an animal inside of another animal. Rabot et avlad. That is a blood, a fetus inside of the mother. Elameata yamiru bo. If that's the case, that it has a classification of being a behema, then why can't you exchange that behema? Because the pasuk by Tmura says, lo yachlifenu velo yamiru tov, tov bera urabitov, behem hamer yamir behema, bebehema, vayahu Tmura toye kodesh. So now, it's classified as a behema, then you should be able to make it into Tmura. If it's not classified as a behema, should be able to make it into Tumura. You're telling me it has a classification of a behema, because you sell it to me. Ho behema, bi behema. any animal inside of another animal is mutar. That means you classified it as an animal. So then, alama tnan, why do we have a Mishnah that says, emi mirim loi barim beubarim, beubarim beubarim? You can't do tmura with a single limb onto a fetus, or a fetus onto a single limb, loi barim beubarim, and not limbs or fetuses bishlemim onto an entire animal. And not an entire animal onto the fetus. If you define it as a behema, why not? I mean that the exclusion over here are evarim and ubarim because there seem to be a piece of the animal, not the entirety of the animal. Because a tmura, take a behemat kodesh, and you try to exchange that onto behemat kudin, you're unsuccessful at doing that, but you are successful at making both of them kadosh in that situation. But we learned there that that's only true of behema, behema. The whole animal, it's not true of evarim, it's not true of ubarim. But according to your explanation, it should be true of ubarim. So Ella, we have to come up with an amar kra. The source for the fact that a animal inside of another animal is mutar is b'chol behema, the rabot et avlad. Rather than learning it from behema b'behema, we're learning it from the ribui at the beginning of the pasuk. It says b'chol behema, not just the behema itself, but kol. Anything inside of the behemah is also included. If that's the case, how come then does it not include the limbs or the organs of the parent? Which is that you have an ubar, you have a fetus in there. We're saying the shechit of the mother impacts the fetus and is matir the fetus. But then you should also say that anything inside of the animal is mutar. Means when you cut off the kidneys, you cut off the spleen and leave them inside the mother, and then you shut the mother, it should also be matir them in that case. Alama tznan, why does our Mishnah say, chutech min ubar shebimea mutar ba'achila? You cut up the fetus and leave it inside, then the shechit of the mother helps. Min atchol min aklayot, if you cut off the spleen or the kidneys, asur ba'achila, that's not helpful in that case. If you learnt it from behema bibehema, then only time that's a whole entity would be nitar, not specific organs. But now that you're learning it from kol behema, that includes anything, then why aren't these particular organs also nitar yidei shechita of the mother? Amar kra, ota shleima velo chasera. When it is a shleima, when it's whole, not when it is in pieces. Because over there it says ota tochelu, that you can eat, and ota is a miut, to tell you that only animals that are whole does this work for. Animals that are not there in their entirety, it doesn't work for. Elamiato, if that's the case, shocheta te beima, umatzabat mutziona. You shecht an animal and you find inside of it a bird-like formation. Tishtare, it should be mutar. You're telling me kol bebehema, anything inside the animal, the shechit of the mother helps. Okay, not everything, because if the animal's not whole, it won't help out the pieces of the animal that are detached from it. So it won't help out for the spleen or the kidneys that were detached inside of the animal. But you're telling me anything inside the animal, it will work for. So then it should be true of anything that you find inside the animal. Even if you find something that doesn't look like the animal itself. You find something that looks like a bird inside of the animal. And alama, amar Rabbi Yochanan, and then why does Rabbi Yochanan say the din is? Shecheta tebeima matzaba dmut yona, asur ba'achila. Anybody who shecks an animal and finds inside of it a formation in the uterus that is similar to a bird, it is asur ba'achila. It's not considered to be mutara yidei the mother. The Gemara says, "Be'inan prasot veleka." You need hooves, and you don't have hooves over here. Rashi seems to indicate over here, though, that only if the animal has the simenei tara in utero is it allowed to be eaten. And he takes it very literally that it needs to have split hooves, and it has to be maleg geira. On the other hand, other Rishonim make it clear that it doesn't mean that it literally has to have those features, but rather it has to look like the parent. It has to look like a behema that does have those features, even if it itself doesn't have those features. The offspring's got to have some semblance of that of the parent. If it doesn't have any semblance to the parent, then it's clearly not an offspring of the parent, and it's not going to be subsumed under kol behema. Now again, the pasuk is kol behema mafresa presa, in that any animal that has hooves, in any animal that looks like the parent, because it has hooves, not necessarily literally hooves, but it has the structural parts that would make it most similar to the parent, that it can take care of. But behema that produces something that's totally different than the parent, that's not going to work because of kol behema. As the Baal HaTosfot will point out over here, the reason that the dmut yona is asura is because even if it gave birth to this, it would still be asura because it would not survive. Since it would not survive after it giving birth to it, then when it's in utero, it's not nitara, you date the parent. And that's the key factor over here, which will become important in the next question of the Gemara. So Tosfot says that since Demut Yonah was born to such an animal, would not be mutar, because it wouldn't survive. So therefore, in utero, it also is not mutar, you date the parent. But if you have something that's born that maybe has some deformity, as we're going to see in a second, it doesn't have split hooves, but it looks like an animal, so then that would be mutar, because that animal will survive afterwards. Since it will survive, then it also, in utero, gets the heter by the parent. That's the Gemara's question over here. Elamiata kalut pimei parali taser. So therefore, an animal that is in utero that has closed hooves, whether that means hooves like a camel where the bottom is not cut all the way through, or it's literally a rounded hoof like a horse, we said before, it's mutar. That even according to Rabbi Shimon, who says an animal that's born like that is asur, nevertheless, in utero it is mutar. Makloket chachamim and Rabbi Shimon, an animal that doesn't have simenei tara, that's born to animals with simenei tara, does that animal have a status of being a kosher animal? Chachamim say it's totally kosher, it's not a problem, because it was born to kosher parents. Whereas Rabbi Shimon says, you look at it, it doesn't have the simanim, that's not a kosher animal, even though it came from kosher parents. So according to Rabbi Shimon, who says that an animal born like that is asur, this goes back to the Balei Tosafot that said before, if after you're born you're asur, then in utero they should not be able to take care of it. And so that's the Gemara's question over here. Why is the animal that has hooves that are kalut in utero, according to Rabbi Shimon, if after it was born it would be problematic, it should be problematic inside? Ha'atana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, ke Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. So the Tana de Bei Rabbi Shmuel, who are the authors of this Braita, they subscribe to the view of Rabbi Shimon by Yochai, Parsa bebehema tochelu, that anything that is a Parsa inside of the animal, you can eat. And this goes back to the Drosha that we saw before with regards to the Pasuk, says Parsa and Parsot. It says one hoof, and it says multiple hooves. And we learned before that there is a din that sometimes where it's Parsa, even though it has one hoof, meaning that it's a closed hoof, it's not prasot, it's not a split hoof, that animal is still considered okay. And that's Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's drosha. Rabbi Shimon, who believes that when an animal born with non-kosher simanim is asur, in utero it's mutar because of the drosha of parsa prasot. We saw that on yesterday's daf. Ubar shein la'ela parsa, shein parsotav stukot, achol. So Rabbi Shimon has that same drosha. And therefore, they have the outcome be the following, which is that the source is kobeima, and therefore everything inside the animal is mutar. So it doesn't have to be classified as an animal. It could be kol. Anything that's inside of the animal is nitar, ayudei deshkita. It's kol and the klayot are not nitar because it needs otash lema, not something that is broken apart or missing pieces. And then a yonah is not nitar, ayudei deshkita, the mother, because it doesn't belong in there. And it wouldn't survive if it was born. It would be problematic if it's born. And therefore, in utero, it remains problematic. And you would have thought the same thing with regards to Rabbi Shimon's din, that a kalut, that is a sore after it's born, then should be problematic inside. For that, we have an additional drosha of parsa prasot to teach you that even though it's in utero and it only has one parsa, it doesn't have split hooves, it is mutar parsa bapehema. Even though it has a single hoof in the animal, tochelo, you're allowed to eat it. So that's one way to deal with it. Then Rav Shimi Barashi Amar, Dolam Kida Amar Tmiikara. Now the source is like we said originally that, Behema, Babehema. Utohar Kashalach, Eime Mirim. So then now you're telling me the reason that you didn't want to use that drosha is because then you should have been successful if you did Tmura with the Ubar, because it's classified as a Behema. Hamari Rabbi Shimoni. It is authored by Rabbi Shimon, the Mekish Tmura, the Meiser. That he connects between Tmura and the Meiser Behemoth. That the poster begins, and then it parlays right into Libakar ben Tov the Rav Alo Yemirenu, Mamir Yemirenu, Vayo Utmurato, Iyakodesh Lo Yigael. So Tmura and Maiser Be'emar are integrally connected. And when we get to dealing with this in Masechet Tmura as well as in Masechet Bechorot, that will have implications, as Rashi notes over here, that it influences what we think you can do tmura with. Just like Maiser Behema only applies to certain types of animals and certain types of ownership, so too tmura will only apply to certain types of animals and certain types of ownership. That's the way Rashi learns it. Even though other Rishonim, the Ramban over here, say that The Hekesh here is not particular to Maaser. The way the Rabbi Shimon actually formulates the Hekesh is, why was Maaser Yotze Min HaKlal with regards to its Murah to teach you about all Kodoshim? And therefore it's not just an issue about Maaser Beima, but rather it's an issue about Kodoshim in general, that you have some correlation between them and the Murah. And then Maaser Sheni is directly correlated with Murah because it's written together with it in the Parshiyah. So that's a slightly different nuance of explanation over here in order to clarify what exactly is this connection between Maaser Sheni and Murah. But Rashi clearly just says that whatever is true by Maaser Behemah is also going to be true by Murah, and then he lists off a number of particularities to Maaser Behemah that are going to be influential with regards to Murah. And given that, then Mama Serinu Nuheg Be'ubarim, Be'ubarim, and just like Maaser Behemah has no impact on limbs and ubarim and fetuses, because it has to be called sheyavo tachat hashevet, as we said, that can walk out of the corral. And that's why, even though you have the riboy of behema, bibehema, and it classifies what's inside as a behema, that is true for everything except maaser behema and tmura. Maaser behema, because it doesn't qualify to be yavo tachat hashevet, it can't walk itself under the staff when it's going out of the corral. And Murah, which is Hukash, has a Hekesh to Maaser Behemah, that also, even though the Ubar is classified as a Behemah, it will not be influential in terms of Murah because of this exclusion. Umanah Tamra, how do I know that Rabbi Shimon is the dissenting opinion in this case? It's none. We have a Mishnah, Rabbi Yosei Alobim Muktashim, Haomer Raglash Elzo Ola, Kula Ola. When you want to be Maktish an animal, if your Maktish is just a single limb of the animal, then the entire animal becomes an olah. Af kishi umar regel zu tachat zu. If you say that I want this leg to replace that leg on that animal, teikula tmura tachta, then it should be successful at generating tmura on the entirety of the animal. So what Rabbi Yossi says is just a logical extension. If by primary hektesh, if you're makdish the whole animal, of course the whole animal is kadosh. If you're makdish one limb of the animal, then it extends to the entire animal and not just that limb is kadosh. The entire animal is kadosh. So let's apply that equally to tmura. By tmura, if you exchange one animal onto another animal, the entire new animal is kadosh. So too, when you take one limb and exchange it onto another limb of an animal, that should generate full kadusha on the new animal, even though you're only doing it for one limb. Similar to the way kodesh works, when you're makdish just one limb of the animal, it spreads the entirety of the animal. Laman Kamahadrele. Who is Rabbi Yossi answering to? Rabbi Yossi is presenting a logical argument as if he's responding to someone who has a different opinion. Elaim al Rabbi Meir ver Rabbi Yehuda. If you think he's responding to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda's position, me lohu haisvoro. They don't have that logic. They don't have that view. Batanya yochol omer raglazo ola teikula ola. If a bright that says, you would have thought that if you make one limb of the animal into an ola, then the entire animal turns into an ola. Tomalomar kol asher yiten mimenu l'Hashem yeh kodesh. Mimenu kodesh. Anything from it will be kodesh. Velo kulo kodesh. And not the entirety of it. Yechol teitzei l'chulein. Maybe it have no impact at all. Tomalomar yeh. That it does have an impact. Behav yata tehei. It retains its kedusha. So based on the pasuk we have here, which teaches us that if you're makdish a single limb of the animal, you would think it is expressed for the entirety of the animal. The pasuk says, mimenu, that a portion of an animal can become kadosh. So you would thought, okay, since you can not be makdish the whole animal, then not only are you not successful with makdish the animal, not even successful with makdish the aver, like kedushat mizbeach, and therefore you would just have to redeem it as if it was kedushat berek habayit. It says, yeah. Iyah comes to teach you that it retains its kedusha, and that one limb will be kadosh. Ha ketzad. So then what do you do with this animal? You have an animal that's 95% kulin, 5% kodesh. How do you deal with it? Timacher letzorchei olot. You sell it to someone who needs an ola, bidamea kulin. And the proceeds of the sale will be kulin, chutz midmei eber sheba. Exception of that one eber that belongs to hekdesh, the remainder will be kulin and given to the balim. As Rashi points out, the Gemara in Tmura will help us out to understand how the person who purchased the Ola actually got a whole Ola because he's buying an Ola minus that limb. And if that's the case, how does he have a whole Ola? How does it work over here? And the Balei Tosfot also point out that this is not classified as a Ola of Shutafim. which is the chuya meikara, where one shutaf is makdishit, and then he purchases it, the other half is makdishit, that's not the scenario here, because the person here in the initial kedusha could have been makdish the whole animal, and therefore it's not the chuya meikara, and you can't use this animal as kodshe mizbeach. Tivei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. That's the view of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. So you see, Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't think that if you have a single limb that is kadosh, it spreads to the entire animal. So then Rabbi Yossi is saying, just like by hektesh, if you makdish one limb, it spreads to the whole animal. So too by tmura is not a logical argument for Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. They don't subscribe to the first step, which is that if you makdish one limb, it spreads to the entire animal. If they're not subscribed to that piece, then they're not obviously going to subscribe to the extension, the extrapolation of that to tmura. So Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Omrim, Minayin Lomer Ragla Shel Zo Ola Te Kula Ola. So here's the opposite opinion, which of course Rabbi Yossi we know subscribes to this, but so does Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon argue on Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir and say that if you're makdish a single limb, then that spreads to the entirety of the animal and the entire animal is kadosh. Where do they know that from? Tamal Omar, Iyeh, the Rabot et Kula. That the Iyeh over here is not coming to tell you that that limb in particular is kadosh, but Iyeh means that it will have a havaya. It will extend itself to the entirety of the animal. If you're makdish mimenu, a portion of it, Iyeh. Not Iyeh on that portion, Iyeh on the entirety of the animal, that it will be kadosh. Laman, who is Rabbi Yossi responding to? Either Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda, mi lehi smara. He can't be responding to them. They don't subscribe to this idea that a single limb can expand into the entire animal being kadosh. Elalav the Rabbi Shimon. It must be that Rabbi Yossi is responding to Rabbi Shimon. Because Rabbi Shimon is the only other Tana that has the same view as Rabbi Yossi, that if one limb is kadosh, it spreads to the entire animal, and the whole animal becomes kadosh. So now Rabbi Yossi is saying to Rabbi Shimon, you say that by koda hektesh, but you don't say it by tmura. I'm going to tell you that logically you should be able to extend it. Whatever is true by kodesh should work the same way functionally by tmura. So that implies that Rabbi Shimon disagrees with Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon believes that when you are a makdish, a single aver through tmura, it doesn't work to spread through the entirety of the animal. And that is must be because of the fact of the hekesh between tmura and maaser behema. So we didn't hear explicitly from Rabbi Shimon that he has such an opinion, but Rav Shimi Barash is pointing out is he's the only one who would have been dissenting to Rabbi Yossi, who Rabbi Yossi would be responding to. And if he's dissenting to Rabbi Yossi, he must have a reason to dissent. And that reason would be the hektish between Tmura and Maaser Sheni. So now we have an opinion that would help us, because his opinion is that even if you call something a behema inside of an animal, that still doesn't qualify it to be subject to Tmura. Because I have a hektish to Maaser behema that teaches me only a behema, not an ubar, not an aver, is affected by these forms of kedusha. And so that's why Rabbi Yossi is speaking to Rabbi Shimon to convince him otherwise. And now we found someone who has that opinion, that you can call it a behema in utero, and still it would not be subject to tmura. Mar says, lo, maybe not. Rabbi Yossi, taima denafshe kamar. Rabbi Yossi is not necessarily responding to Rabbi Shimon's dissenting opinion. Rabbi Yossi is just expressing his own opinion. Don't say that the Tana Kama of Rabbi Yossi's position over there is Rabbi Shimon, but rather it's Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And even though Rabbi Yossi is bringing a logic that Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda don't subscribe to, Rabbi Yossi is declaring his own opinion and saying, I know for certain that if you're makdish a limb, it affects the entirety of the animal. Given that, then for sure by Mura it should work the same way. Now, you don't believe in my first step, which is that if you're makdish an aver, it extends to the whole animal, but nevertheless, the second stage for me is obvious, or an extrapolation from my first position. And so therefore he's saying this to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, even though he's not going to convince them through this argument, but he's saying l'shitati, this is the way it's going to be. And you might disagree with both of them, but I think that both of you are wrong about both issues. You're wrong about the fact that if you're makdish a single limb, it doesn't extend to an animal. And you're also wrong about the fact that tmura by a single aver is not impactful. But if that's the case, then a behema, inside of behema that's defined as a behema, there's no dissenting opinion that would believe that you can't be mimir that. Because even Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, the only reason they think that you can't do an Eber is that it's mimenu, it's a portion of it, not the whole of it. But if you call a fetus in utero as a full behema, then they would think you also could do it's mura with it. And if that's the case, then there's nobody who says that a behema as a whole still would not be subject to t'mura. And then if you have the limud from the pasuk of behema be-behema, it should have been that t'mura would have worked. So you can't prove from here that Rabbi Shimon is the dissenting opinion and must subscribe to this idea of a hekesh between Meiser Behema and the t'mura. Because if that was the case, then we find someone who believes that somebody can call the behema and still be excluded. But it's really Rabbi Yossi Argan and Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda. And their dissent comes from the fact that they don't believe an aver can expand to a whole animal. And therefore, an ubar that is classified as a behema, you should have been able to do t'mura. The fact that you can't shows you that we don't define it as a behema. If that's the case, then that can't be the explanation for why the animal in utero is considered to be kosher, yidei the shechita of the mother. Next Mishnah. Ha-mevakeret. An animal that is going to give birth for the first time, so therefore the offspring will be considered a bechor. Ha-mekasha leleit. It's having trouble giving birth. And in order to save the mother, mechateich eiver eiver, umashlech leklavim. You can cut up the fetus in utero, take it out piece by piece, and throw it to the dogs. And even though it's a sword to pet a mum into kodoshim, over here, again, to save the mother, and because the fact that the bechor only attains kedusha when it is born, and not in utero, therefore, when you're matil the mum, you're doing it before the point of kedusha, and therefore there's no issue of matil mum bekodoshim. Yetzar rubo, once the majority of it is exited, arzei kaver, then you need to bury it. And Zabar's Gemara will discuss exactly what the case is. Rashi here suggests that Yatzar Rubo is Keachat. It came out the robe in one shot, and then you cut it up, not being a continuation of the previous scenario in the Mishnah, which is you cut it up into pieces before it came out, but rather it came out as a whole, and then you cut it up, which is the way that the Gemara concludes that the Mishnah is speaking about. But there is some difficulty with that, which is, if it is coming out alive and the robe comes out and then you cut it, you're putting a mum into kodoshim. And therefore the Ramban favors saying that when it yatsar rubo over here, it's either that it says stillbirth and it's coming out dead and you're cutting it, so there's no problem of motel mum bekodoshim. Or even if it came out alive, it dies very quickly afterwards, and therefore there's no problem of motel mum bekodoshim, and that's why you can cut it over here. Benifteret mina bechora. Even though it came out and it was not a viable entity, nevertheless it was peter rechem. And since it was Peterechem, any animal that follows will not be a Kadosh Bibichor, because you already had the Peterechem with the first one that came through, even though it wasn't a viable entity, or if even it was a stillbirth by the mother. So now, the Mishnah is telling you that if you take apart the animal internally, it never becomes Kadosh Bikdushat Bichora. And since it doesn't have Kedushat Bichora, then when you take it apart, it's not problematic to take it out and throw it out and give it away, because there's no Isra Ana associated with it. On the other hand, once robe is born, that robe makes it that there's now Kedushat Bechorah. And a Bechor that is dead, the Kohen can't get Ana from that animal that is a Bechor. And that's, even though a Bechor that gets a Mum in it is Mutar the Kohanim, that's only true if the Mum happened and the animal is alive. But if the mum happened and the animal is dead, it's not going to help you. It's asur ba'ana. As Tosva points out, that if it's mutar ba'achila for the kohen, then he can do whatever he wants with it, including selling it to Novi Kochavim, giving it to Novi Kochavim. If it's asur ba'achila for the kohen, it's also asur for him to do anything with it, including selling it to the goy. So the Ramban just thinks the problem here is to give it to Klavim. If it's ra'oi to a goy, you could have given it to a goy. And that's what the Isser Hanai is, because since it wasn't ra'oi l'goy, you're enjoined to bury it rather than give it to the dogs. But had it been possible to give it to a goy, the Ramban suggests over here that that would be allowed to be done over here. All right, now Gemara says, Itmar, yotza shlish u'mecharol obed kochavim. A third of the animal exited, and he sold it to the non-Jew. Chazar v'yotza shlish acher. After that, next third exits, to the point where you have the robe of the animal now exiting the mother. Ravuna Amar Kadosh. Puna says the animal is Kadosh Bibichora. Rabba Marino Kadosh. It is not Kadosh Bibichora. Vuna Amar Kadosh Bibichora Kasavar Lamafreya Kadosh. Retroactively, after the majority of the animal exits, that makes the animal Kadosh. So what's clear from here is that Kedushat Bechor takes place at the moment of Leida, the moment of birth. Birth is only classified as a birth once Rove of the animal exits the mother. So once Rove is exited, had there been nothing here that happened, once Rove leaves, it would be Kadosh Bechorah according to everyone. The problem is here, the animal exited in a paced manner, so that the first third came out, and it's still not the Rove out. That means the animal is yet to be Kadosh Kedushat Bechorah. So what the individual does is he sells it to a non-Jew, that first third, because it's not Kadosh Bechorah, he's allowed to sell it, what is in utero, to the Goy. And once you have Yad Goy Be'emtsa, once a Goy is an owner, a part owner, there's no Din of Bechor anymore. So you would have thought, once it exits the remaining third, it makes it, Rove has exited and Kadosh Bechor, at that point you already have a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew, it won't have Kedushat Bechor. So Rapuna says that's not the case, because after the Rove exits, retroactively it tells us that the animal was Kadosh from the moment it left the mother. And that means when you sold it to the Goy, you were unsuccessful at selling it to the Goy, because you didn't own it. Because retroactively, it was Kadosh from the moment it left. If that's the case, came in the Nafak Le'rube, Igle Milton the Mafreya, Dimi Karava Kadosh. That then makes it clear to us that originally what came out was Kadosh. Umay the Zabin, Lav Kum Zabin. The fact that you sold it has no bearing, because you weren't the owner to sell it. It's Bechor. You don't own a Bechor. If you don't own the Bechor, you can't sell it to the Goy. Rabba Marino Kadosh. Rabba says it's not Kadosh, Kasavar Mikanu Lahaba Kadosh. That once the Rove exits, prospectively the animal is Kadosh, Bibichora. But my the Zabin, Shapir Zabin. But that which he sold earlier on was a fine sale because the animal was not Kadosh at that point. The Kadusha only devolved once you hit the point of Rove. At that point, the Goy already is a partner in the animal, and it won't have Kadusha Bichora. And therefore the sale is successful, and it's not Kadosh Bibichora according to Rabba. Which when we get to Bechoro, we'll discuss a little more, but that's one of the ways that we take care of the problem of Kedushat Bechor today, which is that we have a Goy be a partner. However small a partner he is, he can eliminate the din of Bechor with regards to the animal. And we don't want animals to be born with Kedushat Bechorah, even though after they get a mum, they can become Mutarbana for the Kohen, and then Motzi Mechavero Ala Baraya. Nevertheless, we don't want these Kodoshim hanging around that could be a problem for Takala. So in order to prevent that problem, we avoid there being Kedushat Bechor at all. Tosafot points out that the opinion in Bechorot that allows you to put a mum into an animal when it's in utero before it becomes Kadosh, that would only be according to Rabba over here, not according to Ravuna. Ravuna, who says Limafreya, the animal is Kadosh, then if you put a mum in a Bechor before it becomes Kadosh, retroactively after it's born, it has the Kedushah affect the entirety of the animal. And if that's the case, then you can't do that, because you're affecting something that will be Kadosh in the future, according to Rav Huna. Therefore, Tosafot at first suggests that that view is only according to the position of Rabba. Afterwards, Tosafot says that maybe we could have Rav Yehuda fit into Rav Huna, because maybe Rav Yehuda's position is only when the animal has not exited the womb at all. And Rav Huna's din is only once the animal has started to exit the womb, then you can't do anything with the animal, because retroactively that will become Kadosh once the Rove exits the womb. So maybe even according to Rav Huna, if you do it early enough in the process before there's any birthing that started and you do it in the parts that are internal to the mother, maybe that'd be okay, because it's not at the point where you're crossing that threshold of Kedusha, which is the birth of the animal, and so therefore retroactively it's not problematic. If it already crossed the threshold and it becomes Kadosh once you hit Rove, retroactively it becomes Kadosh from that moment it left. But it has to have left in order for it to be Kadosh, and therefore it's not a problem to be Matil Mum before that point in time. And their Shita here matches their Shita in another place, which is Itmar. Yitzach Shlish Derech Dofen. A third of the animal came out through a C-section. B'shnei Shlishei Derech Rechem. And the other two-thirds exited through the womb. As Rashi over here says, they used some sort of medication and a knife, and they took out a portion of the animal through a C-section. And then, later on, the remainder of the animal is born, the other two-thirds are born through the regular petarechem, through the birthing canal. So Rav Huna Amar, Eino Kadosh. It does not attain Kedushat Bechorah. Rabba Amar Kadosh. Rabba says it is Kadosh. I mean, their opinions are reversed from what was before, but for the same reason. Rav Huna Amar, Eino Kadosh. But it says it's not Kadosh, because Rav Huna L'tamei. He says of the belief Damala Mafreya Kadosh, that retroactively becomes Kadosh. Iruba Kama Leta Verechem. And the first rove didn't come through the birthing canal. Because after the rove of the behemoth's out, that means the first third that came through the C-section, and the second third that came through the birthing canal. That first two-thirds then is a rove, but that rove is comprised of a third from Petarechem, and a third from Yotzei Dolphin. That can't be Kadosh B'Bechorah. There is no Kedushat B'Bechorah. Rabba Mar Kadosh. Rabba says you are successful in Kadosh. Rabba L'Tamei Demar Mikan Olam Kadosh. He's of the belief that prospectively becomes Kadosh. Beruba Derech Rechem Nofik. And a majority of it exited through the Petarechem. The first third that left clearly is not Kadosh B'Bechorah because that was Yotzei Dolphin. On the other hand, the remainder of the animal that exits through the Petarechem, that's a rogue behema exiting through the birthing canal. And it's not relevant what happened before, because it's all prospective. So prospectively, this animal that the majority of it left through the birthing canal will be Kadosh B'Bechorah. And the fact that an animal is only Kadosh when it comes through the Petarechem is because that's what the Torah describes. They call it B'Chorah She'ivaleit. When it is born, the animal, and Petarechem, it has to be born in a normal fashion through the birthing canal. If it's born any other way, it's not Kadosh B'Bechorah. There is the dissenting opinion of Rabbi Shimon, who believes that even Yotzei Dolphin can be Kadosh B'Bechor. But that's only true by Adam, that's not true by Behema. So if it goes out Yotzei Dolphin, it's not Kadosh. If it goes Petarechem, it is Kadosh. So for Rabba, there's a robe of an animal that exited through the Petarechem, that's Kadosh B'Bechorah. On the other hand, for Avuna, you need retroactively to impact the robe, which means that the first two-thirds that exit are going to generate the Kedusha. And if that two-thirds, it is Petarechem, it would be Kadosh. But if it's half Petarechem, half Yotzei Dolphin, that's not going to make it Kadosh. That's the reason between them. But Tzricha, and you need both of their positions. The position with regards to the Nachri buying a portion of it, as well as their position with regards to the partly C-section, partly natural birth. Di Ashmina and Baha. Had you only told me about this one, Baha Kama Ravuna Mishom de Le Kula. Because over there, it ends up being a Kula. Aval behach. In this case, the lochumra emimodile the rabba. Maybe over here, where he's going to be the kula, then he would not agree. So by the case of the goy, he's the chumra and he makes it kadosh. Over here, his position is going to result in a kula. So maybe over here, he would have agreed with rabba and said it should be kadosh because over here, he wants to remain the chumra and not make it into kula. So that's what you would have thought. Vidmar behach. Had you only told me the case of the Bechor, partly C-section, partly natural birth. Baha Kama Rabba. Over there, that's where Rabba takes the position of Al-Baha, by the case of the Goy, Emi Modile the Ravuna. Maybe he'll agree with Ravuna, because over there it'll be Le Kula. And so maybe he won't go to Kula, and he will hold like Ravuna. Tzricha. Therefore, we need both of them to teach us that their positions are upheld in both situations. All right, we're going to stop here, two lines down on the top of Ayin Amud Aleph.